Over the last year and a half, churches across the globe, regardless of denomination, location, or demographics, have adapted to communicate more and better online. Today, we are talking with the communications director from a Roman Catholic church in Maryland about how they've adapted to this new normal of digital and physical communication.
Hey, Church Communicator. Welcome to the Church Juice Podcast. I'm Brian Haley, the producer of Church Juice, and I'm joined, as always, with my awesome co-host, Jeanette Yates. We're here energizing church communications.
Yes, Brian, we are. And I'm so excited to welcome Victoria Wesley. She is the communication director in the Roman Catholic Diocese of Washington at St. Elizabeth Church in Rockville, Maryland. Hi, Tori.
Hello.
Hey, Tori. Welcome to the podcast. Why don't you take a moment and just kind of introduce yourself to our audience?
Sure. So yes, I'm Tori. I am 27 years old, and I've been working for St. Elizabeth's in Rockville, I guess under the Archdiocese of Washington, for almost 4 years now. My own faith journey, I didn't convert into the faith until I was like 16, and had more of a conversion, like reversion in college. So it's been a very interesting ride and kind of fun. The last couple of years have been kind of crazy with the Archdiocese of Washington and with COVID. So it's been fun learning new things all the time.
Yeah. So it sounds like you just dove right in, and then just as you were getting things under your belt, like everything changed. Here on the podcast, we talk a lot with communication leaders from across different regions, denominations, affiliations. And I'm interested to hear from you. What would you say makes communication unique in the Washington, D.C. area and also in the Roman Catholic Church?
Yeah, I mean, in the D.C. area, obviously, there's a lot of politics around us. We're also in a location that, at least of recently, we are very close to NIH. So a lot of our parishioners are people who, you know, with everything COVID, while we made a stance, and then they would tell us, like, you know, how to go five steps further with certain things. But it's not too different. Luckily, like, we have a lot of churches around. Like, there's a different Catholic church 7 minutes away. So it's kind of an interesting landscape, and there's always something different going on DC-wise. It's where, like, young adults go, where older people go. We're more out in the suburbs, so sometimes there's a group of young adults, but more so they can kind of are in the city. And I guess with the Catholic Church being different, there's just a lot of different ways to communicate and, like, learn, go back in history and have to, like I relearn things. And then I'm like, oh, this is cool. I can show other people this, if that makes sense. Yeah, so that's kind of fun.
Yeah, and I think one of the questions that Jeanette was asking actually before we even started the podcast was, okay, so we know that there are a couple things that are important in the Catholic Church, right? Communion and confession. So over the last couple of years, how has that looked in your parish specifically? What does that look like?
Yeah, so before lockdown, I mean, it was about March when we kind of were like, you know, what's going to happen? And then within about 48 hours, I guess my pastors, my boss was like, okay, we're going to have to do videos and so I had a camera, had not practiced at all with, like, doing videos or anything. So I was, like, taking a couple days, like, kind of crying a bit because I was like, freaking out. And then within 2 days, I had to learn that. And then March 13th or something, when they, like, completely just shut us down. For the first, I think, couple of weeks, we were shut down completely. Couldn't open. I don't even think we had confessions or anybody, like, in the building. Definitely could not have mass, but priest would say a private mass every day. So usually for each mass, like, there, we'd have two masses during the day, and there's, like, a mass intention. So we were still able to do mass intentions. So priests were able to pray for those intentions when they had their private masses. But yeah, for a while we were completely shut down. And then once we were able to open up a little bit, we took confession into, like, a bigger room with windows and fans. Gotcha. And spacing. And people seemed to really, like, respond to that. We actually had a lot more confession lines than we've had in the past. So that was actually pretty good.
A lot of people, when they think of the Catholic Church, they think very liturgical or traditional or even stoic, kind of, whatever name you want to put on that. How do you think that impacts the way you communicate in your parish specifically? Because you're also in a suburban, but kind of, you know, that, like you were talking about, young adult, young professional. So you kind of have these two different audiences that you have to communicate to. What does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's different. So there's kind of a inner joke within the Catholic Church. Some of our churches are very much like the traditional, like crux type of design, where it's very like big stained glass, everything.
Right.
Our church has stained glass, but it's like an amphitheater type. Sometimes we call it, joke and call it the living room. Still pretty, but it's just like,
nice.
Sometimes you're like, oh man, why did they build this in the 60s? So I think part of like with the liturgical and stoic thing is actually taking some of the things that might seem boring or not like kind of just like about church, and especially with online, like when people think about the mass, you know, it's like sit, stand, do all the things, but being able to actually like explain what's happening, like explain the Eucharist. And there's a lot of different resources out there that have like beautiful videos that communicate the beauty of all the liturgical things and what the real meaning is, besides just like listening to the words and being like, all right, you know, I don't understand.
Yeah, right.
That's been kind of fun for me, is to take the, like the different sacraments and try to explain them in a way that when people go on our website, it's not just, you know, here's the mass times. It's also like, okay, here's what we believe the Eucharist is. Here's what we think confession is, stuff like that.
So you've kind of already answered this question, but maybe we can dive a little bit deeper. Obviously, things change in the way you had to communicate and you had to go digital first, which maybe you already kind of were doing that before. I mean, maybe that was your, so you can answer that. Like, were you kind of already doing some of this stuff before? But then as you moved into that period of lockdown and uncertainty, because I'm sure, I know from my own personal experience where I live, like, it was very tough for people who are used to going to mass every day or used to doing confession often to then have to communicate all of that to them. So I want to hear a little bit more about that. And then like, if you faced any challenges, you know, how did you overcome those?
Yeah, definitely. So I didn't start here until 2017. And I mean, I guess it's providential, because when I started, they created my position as like a communications person. So my job really was to take them from like paper only to like, they had no email communications. Their website was not good. There was no real way to send out information to a mass audience quick. So within the past like 3 years, that's kind of been, or 4 years now, but that's kind of been what I was working towards. So by the time lockdown hit, I luckily, like, we've been using Flocknote, and I was able to immediately like send out an email, send out a text and being like, this is what's going on. Yeah, one of the hot take things that we did, which was a little different than most parishes, is we did not live stream our mass. So we are continuing to not do that. We kind of decided that we wanted to encourage people to, one, like, understand, like, yeah, like, this is hard. It's a pandemic, and it's also a sacrifice. Like, you're going to have to sacrifice a little bit, like a sacrifice to like not be with Jesus, like sacramentally. So we decided to take that and encourage people to pray at home. So we'd give people like the readings of the mass and be like, you know, we really want you to pray at home. And then when you feel safe, then come back, because basically like the mass via live stream, you're not really there. Sometimes it's pre-recorded. It's just not authentic community versus like praying at home. And then when you can safely return and getting to like embrace that community, that's also like being in community is, you know, being in the presence of God. So we kind of, that was like our hot take, which some people were like, you know, every other day was, you know, why aren't you live streaming the mass? Why aren't you having mass outdoors? Why aren't you doing this? And we could have, but it also would have been like, you know, do we really reverence like Jesus in the Eucharist, or are we just like pandering to fear? So that was, yeah, that was a very interesting time. And now that we're fully open, it's kind of nice to see people slowly, you know, come back and do things, which is great.
I'm curious to hear how you anticipate using like your website and the digital platforms that you're already, or that you have been using. How do you anticipate using those more in the future? So now that the people are coming back into the building, they're coming back for Mass, back for Eucharist, what do you think your online presence is going to look like?
Yeah, I think it would be to build more community. And my goal before we kind of hit lockdown was to get all of our ministry leaders to get more digitally equipped. So training them how to use things so that when they would have like a meeting, one, the whole parish would be invited and it wouldn't just be like this private thing. So I think, yeah, engaging people, hopefully maybe creating some type of forum where they can like talk to each other. I think we're going to start having more social events after Mass, like sometime in the fall. That'll be good. I think just equipping people with information, encouragement, sending more videos about like, you know, what Mass is about, what things are about, you know, reflecting on the readings for the week, just things like that. Just continually like, engaging, but not bugging people to death or like nagging them where it's like, okay, enough.
And I think that's every communicator's struggle, right? Like, how do we communicate effectively and make sure that everyone knows what's going on? But at the same time, we don't want it to become deaf, or we don't want to bore you with everything that's happening so that you tune us out, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and one of the things I really like about what you said, Tori, when y'all made the decision to not live stream Mass, and like you said, that was not always received well, but I love that, you know, before you even told us that, you were talking about using that time and the digital platforms to educate, which I think a lot of times that can sound like, oh, no, that's not what social's for. Social's for community. But I think in order for them to be able to pray at home and do the things that they're used to doing at Mass at home, to have that education piece was probably so important to them. And so I just love that you know your audience so well. You know, Brian, we talk about this all the time. It's like, who are you trying to reach? Who are you trying to communicate with? And you knew what they were going to need, you and your pastors. And I just think that's really great that you used the digital tools to communicate. So that's really great. But I'm going to challenge you now. Is there anything that you wish that you're working on that you want to try to do better?
Yeah, I think constantly. I think that's also the struggle about being a creator or creative, is you definitely can go into like the compare and despair type of mindset, because there'll be times when I look at other people's, what they're doing, and I'm like, ah, if only. We're still working on doing a logo at some point. Like, our logo is non-existent right now. It's kind of like we've been using some stained glass things that we like, but
we could have a whole other thing on just the logo situation going on in the world.
It's hard. It's bad. And then I'm like, oh, maybe I can figure it out myself. And then I'm like, oh, I don't know. Well, I think, yeah, constant improvement. I think one thing I could definitely improve on would be to be more strategic with my communications, as far as like scheduling when this is posted, or maybe having different themes. Right now, I'm also taking on the role of secretary. So my full attention has not been able to just to be like, you know, I have nothing to do, so let me only focus on communications all day. But now it's like, you know, got to do sponsor letters, got to add sacramental records, answer the phones all day, update the database, you know, input giving things. So there's always constant room for improvement and looking at how I can do things better, how to make things more engaging, especially as different digital platforms like update and upgrade. Like Flocknote adds all these new different tools all the time, and I'm very excited to use them. And like, yeah, they had like a new sign up feature where if people sign up, then you can like text everyone who signed up or like put them into a group. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. So yeah, things like that. I'm like, okay, just kind of keeping up with what's changing.
What is one piece of advice that you would give to a communication leader that's listening to this episode?
I'd say, you know, I think it's one thing as hard as like to make sure your own personal faith life is there, because that makes communication easier when you actually know and believe in what you're communicating. So I think that's important, and it can be hard too when you're like in the midst of it and seeing the behind the scenes. It's not always glamorous or as idealistic. Sometimes you do get very burnt out. But I'd also say to be confident, but also like, you know, make sure that your communications are well-rounded. And I'm very much like not, I don't try to post controversial things. Like, I'm very like, make sure everyone, like, I don't go too much hot takey, like on social media, or like pull random things. And like, I like that, but would other people respond to that? Maybe not. Like, how can I encourage people to pray? How can I encourage people to like think about God today? That's, yeah, my main goal. And if they think more about like theological learnings and different things, that's great. If they learn about the saints, that's great too. So
Tori, it has been wonderful talking to you. When I found out we were going to be interviewing today, I got super excited. So I'm so glad you were able to come on with us today. If someone wants to reach out to you, maybe has more questions or just wants to dig a little bit deeper and learn more about what you're doing, where you work, what is the best way they can get in contact with you?
Yeah, sure. I guess the easiest social media way would be to connect with me on Instagram. It's at T-O-R-I-W-E-S, so Tori West, and Facebook, it's Tori Wesley. And I guess through email too, my work email is so long. So
we'll put it in the notes.
Yeah, yeah. it's very long, but yeah, vwesley@stelizabethchurchmd.org. Very long.
That's another podcast we could have, Brian. Let's, true. We could do a whole podcast URL on logos links. And like long email
right.
and long church names.
It was so nice talking to you guys.
Yeah, thank you for coming on today. We appreciate it.
Perfect, thanks.
Well, we love being able to talk with church communicators from across the globe. And we believe that every church and every communicator story is unique and it's valuable. So this week, we'll be continuing today's discussion on Church Juice's Insider Facebook group. You can join the Insiders group as well as get today's show notes by going to churchjuice.com/podcast.
Church Juice's podcast is a listener-supported production of Reframe Ministries, a family of programs designed to help you see your whole life reframed by God's gospel story. Church Juice is produced by Brian Haley with post-production by audio engineer Nate Morris in Grand Rapids, Michigan. For more information about Church Juice, visit churchjuice.com. For more information on Reframe Ministries and our family of programs, visit reframeministries.org.